chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. If you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, you know that chapter 2 is dealing with who we used to be and who we are in Christ. And I'm going to look at something here this morning. Last Sunday, we talked about don't leave the way you came in, dealing with 2020. We don't want to leave 2019 the way we came in. We want to leave differently. Then we saw in the midweek service that the subject matter of not knowing in 2020, not knowing certain things that we don't know are going to happen in 2020. And so we just need to be ready to serve God. Amen. No matter what's going to happen in 2020, because we don't know what's going to happen. And we talked about that in the midweek service, not knowing in 2020. This morning, I want to carry that same theme, but we're calling it this: things we can't do without in 2020. Things we can't do without in 2020. There's some things in 2020 that you and I just cannot do without. And we're going to talk about that this morning, and then we'll finish up with that tonight in our evening service. And so Ephesians 2 and verses 11 and 12, I want to read those two verses. I'm going to read verse 11, and then I want you to read verse 12 with me. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. Amen. Everybody has those two, say amen. All right. Verse 11 says, "Wherefore remember," this is Paul speaking to the Christians at Ephesus, "wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Join with me in 12. "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's the focus of our message and the title for today: things we cannot do without in 2020 and beyond. I saw this in the Days of Praise back in November, and I wanted to expand upon it today. As just a reminder, as we start off 2020, there are certain things that we just cannot do without in 2020. Notice verse number 12 again, "that at that time ye were without Christ." Can you imagine being without Christ? But multitudes are without Christ today. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we have our own witness here, because multitudes are without Christ. And that's a shame, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Notice this: having no hope. It's one thing that's terrible is when you have no hope. There are some people that are hopeless, and so they commit suicide. They want to just end it all because they think, "I'm without hope." Then it gets worse: having no hope and without God in the world. Without God in the world. There are certain things we can't do without. One of those things is we can't do without Christ. We can't do without God. And we've got to have the blessed hope. Got to have that. And so today, as we start this, we're going to look at some things we can't do without in 2020. And friend, my prayer for you is, if you're without God, without Christ, you make him your personal savior today. You make him your shepherd today. Why? He longs to be your shepherd. He longs to save you. And there's no excuse to be without Christ. There's no excuse to be without God unless you have not heard. By the end of this service, you will be without excuse, because you will have heard about Christ. You will be without excuse. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a picture here of what it is like to be without God, without Christ, without hope. God, I'm so glad that you provide hope for the hopeless. You provide salvation for the lost. Lord, you provide encouragement for the discouraged. You provide, Lord, joy for the sorrowful and the sad in heart. And I'm so glad, Lord, that we can have you as our Lord and as our Savior going into 2020. Not only are you our light, you're our shepherd. And Lord, there's so many other things that you are to us. Lord, you're good and you're gracious. You're merciful. You're long-suffering to us. And God, we need all of those things for you to be to us. Thank you that as we look at the topic for today, things we cannot do without, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see it's foolish to go without Jesus Christ. It's foolish to go without God. It's foolish to have hopelessness when the hope of God in Christ is available today. Lord, speak to every heart, challenge every soul. Lord, help us to look at 2020 with a perspective of Christ-likeness and godliness. And help us to be more for you, Lord Jesus, that we can see more people saved around this world. Lord, whether it's in our speaking Christ to them or giving that missionaries can go to them, or whether it's just praying for them, help us, Lord, to help others see the hopefulness in Christ. And Lord, so they can get away from the hopelessness in the world. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in the sermon. Bless in the song that will be sang. Lord, as we spoke about last week, help us to leave here differently than when we came in. A little bit more knowledgeable about the Lord Jesus Christ, a little bit more conformed to the image of Christ's likeness and transformed into the image of God. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. And Lord, may we truly say, I'm leaving with a new commitment, a new zeal, a new heart today to serve God in a special way. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for our missionaries. Thank you for our friends and guests and members. Now, Lord, minister to us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. By the way, how many of y'all have never had to scold your child? Never. I rest my case. We all need the chastening, amen, of the Lord. And do we like it? No, we don't like it. But nonetheless, we can't do without it. Amen. This morning's focus is we can't do without Christ. By the way, may I say this? There are many things that we can easily do without. I could do without a couple extra pounds. Amen. Possibly you could do without a couple as well. Amen. I don't know how much you ate over the holidays, but I could do without some pounds. Amen. I can do without hair. I seem to wear it well. Amen, Brother Kelly. Certain folks can't do without hair. You need some hair on your head. If you don't have any hair, you would look like a pomegranate or something like that. Amen. So some folks can do without hair. Others cannot do without hair. They've got to have it. Amen. Let me give you some things that I believe we can easily do without. Amen. I believe we can easily do without video games. Amen. We can do without video games. Amen. Nintendo, we can do without. Xbox, we can do without. PlayStation, we can do without. Some of y'all still got Atari. We can do without that too. By the way, we checked on the games, and the unit itself is astronomical, and then the games are the price of stars. Amen. So they're astronomical. So we can easily do without video games. We can easily do without cell phones. Amen. You say, teenagers are having a heart attack already. No texting. No surfing. We can easily do without cell phones. We can easily do without texting. We can easily do without web browsing, web surfing. We can easily do without Facebook. Some of you spend too much time on it anyway. We can easily do without CDs. We can easily do without Google. No, don't take away Google. No, how will I find anything? Let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages like we used to do. Preacher, that's Neanderthal. That's archaic. That's old. Still works. We can easily do without Amazon. Heaven forbid. We can easily do without Starbucks. Now you're meddling, preacher. Now you're meddling. Say, well, at least we got Dutch Brothers. We can do without Dutch Brothers, too. The German brothers as well, amen. We don't need the Dutch brothers, amen. We can easily do without McDonald's. We can easily do without Happy Meals. Now you're really picking. That's my dollar sandwich, G2. We can even do without remote controls. You will have to walk to the television. You will have to start the car up with a key. You will have to manually go and set your alarm. You will have to manually do certain things because we can easily do without remote control. Say, preacher, how do we know that? Because we did without them before they came into play. Amen. When your GPS goes out, what do you do on the road besides panic? You get a map out and you find the road that you're on and you find out where you're at. You look at the mile markers and you find out I'm at mile marker so-and-so. You look on the map, you find out where it's at. And you can easily navigate yourself. You don't have to rely upon that woman that says, turn left in 500
feet make a U-turn. You don't have to worry about that. Some of y'all put a manly voice in there, make a U-turn. I mean, it's just something about having a manly voice on there. How many got a manly voice in their GPS? Nobody? You chauvinistic people. No, sorry. Amen. We just rather have this lady voice tell us what to do. Amen. I think it's just in the DNA. Amen. We got to have a lady to tell us what to do. Amen. What happened here? We know that we got along easily without these things beforehand. So going into 2020, if we don't have texting, if we don't have remote controls, McDonald's, Starbucks, Amazon, Google, video games, if we don't have any of that, guess what? We will survive. We will make it. We'll actually have more money left over, too. Because you can't buy as quick on some of these other places as you can on Amazon. Amen. You can't find it as quick in the Yellow Pages as you can on Google. Amen. The video games, if you can't find them, amen, if you can't play it on the machine, amen, we'll use them buying them. So you will save a lot of money in 2020. You can easily do without these things and probably be financially better off. Amen. Hey, what are you doing? You can't find the remote controls anyway. You search all through the house to find them instead of just going to the TV and just pushing a button. And you spent endless hours looking. Where are they at? Where is it at? Where are those remote? And you walk past the TV 10 times. And then finally you say, well, I guess I'll just have to turn it up by myself. Has it come to that? Has it really come to George Jetson? I've got to... Hey, what if it was like in the old days? We had knobs we had to turn. We had rabbit ears you had to fiddle with. Hold it over there. Don't move. Good, now we can watch football. What about me? What about you? I'm watching football. You stay there, amen. Hey, we don't have that now. And guess what? We can easily get along without those things. Say, preacher, easily? Okay, we can get along without those things. The Huckabee said, we came 1,000 miles for Google and McDonald's. Don't take it away now. Don't take Starbucks away now. We came a long way for this. Amen. Brother, we'll let y'all have it all. You can take it. Amen. You'll be fine. Hey, what am I saying? There's certain things we can't do without. There's certain things we can easily do without. Amen. Some things absolutely essential. We can't do without food. We can't do without water. And you don't do well without sleep. Some of you don't get sleep. You are grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. Some of you don't have any food. You are grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. Some of you don't have any water. You are dehydrated, dehydrated, dehydrated. You have headaches. You're passing out. You're falling out. What's wrong with me? It's a thing called water that you must have to survive. Now, going into 2020, you've got to have food. You've got to have water. And you've got to have sleep. Those things are essential. Now, you might have to get it on Google or Amazon, but you got to have it, amen? I'm doing all my shopping on Amazon. Give me some food. Give me some water. They can't give you sleep, though. Certain things that you cannot do without. Spiritually speaking, there are some things we can't do without in 2020 and beyond. Say, preacher, what is that? Jesus Christ himself set the standard in John 15:5. Go over there real quick. If you've got your Bible there, go over there real quick. John 15:5, Jesus set the standard. What did Jesus say in John 15:5? He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Notice this, for without me ye can do what? Nothing, absolutely nothing. You cut a vine off, a branch off of the tree, guess what? It's going to sit there and die. It cannot abide by itself unless it's fake. And there's a whole lot of fake Christianity going on today. People who think they have Christ, they think they're saved, but they're no more alive than this little branch here, amen? And you can cut this branch off and leave it there, and it'll be the same color tomorrow. It'll be the same color next week. It'll be the same color next year. Why? It's fake, and that's what some people have when it comes to Christianity. And they think they're doing something, but Jesus said, you'll do nothing that's going to stand the test of eternity. Absolutely nothing. Worldly-wise, it may stand up. But when the rubber meets the road, it's not going to stand up. And so Jesus Christ lets them know here in John 15:5, without me, ye can do nothing. So with John 15:5 in mind, let's notice several things that we can't do without in 2020 and beyond. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Several things that we cannot do without in 2020 and beyond. By the way, these are all fundamental doctrines and teachings of the Bible. And many of you know that we teach the Bible here. Amen. We teach the Bible. First of all, we can't do without Christ. And again, that's the only one that we're going to look at today, because we're going to look at this one in depth, because this is the cornerstone. This is the foundation. You need Christ above everything else. Without Christ, you can do nothing. He's already set the standard. He's already put the framework there. He's already said, you can't do anything if you don't have me. We can't do without Christ. People may call themselves living without Christ, but it's only a walking death march. I can do without God. You need God. It is God that gives you your breath. It is God that gives you your eyesight. It is God that enables you to think. It is God that enables you to walk. I walk by myself. Let God pull the strings of your life and see what happens. Amen. Man lives and was created by God for God's glory and for God's honor. Now, there'll be many people that don't recognize him nor accept him as God nor Savior. But my friend, when the time comes, you will wish you had. Amen. Why? We can't do without Christ. Without Christ, we were just like the unsaved in the world. Notice verse 12 again. That at that time, ye were without Christ. He's speaking to a group at Ephesus who used to be unsaved Gentiles, who now are saved Gentiles. He's bringing them right back and letting them know how they used to be. And by the way, friend, before you got saved, you and I were the same way. You were just like them without Christ. But I've always believed in God. Believing in God and believing on Jesus Christ is totally different. A lot of people believe in God, but not many people are going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He says, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, you were foreigners to the commonwealth of Israel. Everything that Israel had, you were foreigners to that. And strangers from the covenants of promise. Israel had many covenants and many promises that you didn't know anything about, that you weren't included in that. What were we then? Having no hope. He said, you were hopeless. Amen, folks. That's our state before Christ. Hopeless. And without God in the world. That's a sad commentary. But that is the commentary that many people live day in and day out. Without God, without Christ, without hope. Say, preacher, I don't need Jesus Christ. Yes, you do. Without him, there is no heaven for you. Without him, there is only hell for you. Without him, there is no life for you. There's no afterlife for you. Without him, you don't exist in the next life. You exist only in eternal damnation and torment. And that's not what God wants for you. That's not what God created for you. God loves you. And he wants what's best for you. So Paul brings them to the point in their lives and says, remember how you used to be without Christ, without hope. He said, you were without God. There was a difference that Jesus Christ made in your life. And by the way, Jesus makes all the difference in the world and the world to come. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not what? Hath not life. If I have Jesus Christ, I've had eternal life. If I don't have him, I don't have eternal life. Notice Ephesians 2:1. Let's go back to the top of verse 1 and see where Paul started with all this and where he wants to take the Ephesian believers to as we consider we can't do without Christ. We can't do without Christ. Notice how we were in verse number 1. First of all, we were without life. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened means gave life. Who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. He said, let me tell you something. You were without life. You didn't have. Hey, by the way, man can do a whole lot of great things. They can go in there. They can give you a heart transplant. They can give you a kidney transplant. They can give you a liver transplant. They can give you an eye surgery. They can do all these things, give you a prosthetic leg. But one thing man still has not figured out to do is give you life. Amen. Now, he can prolong life, but tell him to go out to the cemetery, dig up a dead body, and give it life. Folks, it only works in the Frankenstein movies. doesn't work in real life. Man does not have life-giving ability. He can only prolong it. He can only help sustain it, but he cannot give life. And the Bible says, you hath he quickened, you made alive, who were dead. Not only were you dead, you were in trespasses and sins. Glory to God. That's bad, folks. That's bad. He said, this is the way Gentiles you used to be. Hey, folks, that's the way I was. Hey, that's the way you were. He says, you were without life. Not only were you without life, you were without liberty. Notice verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says, you were without liberty. You could only do what Satan wanted you to do. Folks, that's real sad. You were a child of disobedience. In other words, you were a child of Satan because he was the first of his kind and he has offspring. Who's his offspring? Everybody's not saved. He says, you were without liberty. Now I can do whatever I want to do. That's the problem. You do what you want to do, not what Jesus Christ wants you to do. Amen. I can do right if I want to. Again, there's one word that you keep leaving out. I. When I is involved, God gets no glory in I. Unless it's I surrender. I give it all to Jesus. I'm giving my life to Christ. That's the I that matters. But any other I, you're from this area without liberty. You can only do what the devil wants you to do. You're more like a puppet, like Pinocchio. The world plays this music, you get woo-hoo, woo, get to jamming, boy. Go over there, woo, look at that. Woo, I want that. Nobody will know if I take it. I got this. Nobody knows but me. They got cameras all over the place. You busted. Then they catch you at the front door. Come on back here with us. I ain't do nothing. What's the evidence? Let me pull the screen down. Is that you? Somebody put that in my pocket. Whose hand is that? I don't know, but it's not mine. I'm innocent. Right. Hey, we did what the devil wanted us to do against God's wishes. We were without liberty. By the way, not realizing that sin is addictive to the flesh. Sin is seductive in the flesh. Sin is elusive because it's going to take you down the wrong road. But mainly, sin is unattractive to God. He does not like sin. And we were without liberty. We did what the devil wanted us to do. Where in time past ye walked, notice that, according to the course of this world, you did what the devil wanted you to do. According to the prince of the power of the air, you did what Satan put down there for you. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, people are still that way. Even though you had Ephesus, you got saved, there are other people that are still that way. By the way, there are still people that way today. You and I may be in church. We may be hearing the word of God. We may love God. We may be saved, but there's still others that way. They're children of the devil because they never changed their parenthood and received Christ as Savior. And so the devil is still their father. Amen. Preacher, my father's not the devil. Where's your birth certificate? When did you get saved? What date did you give your life to Jesus Christ? What day did you repent of your sins from going that way and turn to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, save me? What day was it? I'm not talking about your baptism. I'm not talking about the day you joined the church. I'm not talking about the day you gave your tithes. I'm not talking about the day you did a good work. I'm talking about the day you surrendered, the day you started living because you were dead in sins and trespasses. Hey, what did he say in verse 1? And you hath he quickened who were what? Dead. Where is your birth certificate? Hey, folks, going into 2020, we can't make it without Christ. He says, you're without life, verse 1. Without liberty, verse 2. He said in verse 3, you're without limits. There was nothing that you wouldn't do, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. He said, you were all the same way. By the way, you know who Paul had to include in there? Himself. Notice what he says. Among whom also, what's that two-letter word there? We. We all. Paul said, me too. Among whom we all had our conversation, our manner of life, the way we did things in times past, in what? The lust of our flesh, We did what felt good to us. I want what I want to do. And you better not stop me. How many of you ever had a child that had something and you tried to pull it from them? What's the first thing that child did? They want to get it back. Y'all know the story about me when I stole lifesavers when I was a kid. I went up there and took those lifesavers and put those lifesavers in my pocket. I'm going to go out the store. My mom said, give me those lifesavers, boy. And she took them. I said, I hit her. This was in the 60s. I never saw a real life octopus. But my mother transformed into an octopus. So many hands hit me, I didn't know what was coming my way. And then I had to go home. And that octopus seemed like it tripled. And she beat me like I'd never been beat before. She said, boy, if you ever lift your hand at me again. I thought, oh. Can you just cut them off now to prevent any future retribution? I don't ever want to have this happen to me again. What happened? I did what I wanted to do. I wanted those lifesavers. I took them. She said, let me have them. She took them out. I said, I want what I want. Boy, I never raised my hand to my mother since that day. Since that day. I'm lucky it's still there. It should be gone. She beat me bad enough. She beat the hands off of me. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. I did what I wanted to do. And of the mind, I did what I thought about doing. Amen. By the way, that's where the danger starts. When you think on the wrong things, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. As you think on the wrong things, as you meditate on the wrong things, you will inevitably do the wrong thing. Somebody say amen. That's how it all starts, right here. By the way, you don't do anything without thinking about it. Your mind has to process it, whether subconsciously or consciously or subconsciously. Your mind does it. Somebody try to hit you in the eye like that and stop real quick. What does your eye all make? Blinks. What happened? Your subconscious brain had time to reflect and say, look, that's going to hurt. Close that eye. Protect yourself. And we close the eye. But guess what? The mind still had to register that. He said, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of what? Wrath. You were subject to God's almighty and devastating wrath, even as others. Wow. So Paul says, verse 1, you were without life. Verse 2, you were without liberty. Verse 3, you were without limits. Come down to verse number 11. He says, down there, you were without the Lord as well. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Paul said, that's how you and I were. We were without the Lord. We were without his life. We were without liberty, without limits. But go back to verse number 4, because I like what Paul interjected in the middle of this hopelessness. In the middle of this being without liberty, in the middle of being without life, in the middle of being without limits, in the middle of being without the Lord, he says, but God stepped in. God stepped in. Hey, it makes a difference when I have the Lord and when I don't have the Lord. God stepped in. What did God step in with? With love. But God, who is rich in his mercy, is for his great love wherewith he what? Loved us. If it weren't for the love of God. I had no life. I had no liberty. I was without limits. I was without the Lord. But his great love for me came and got me. Hey, folks. What makes a parent go after a child? Their great love. They see a child plummeting to the stairs and about to go down the stairs. They run and get that child. They see the child about to go and touch the hot flames on the stove. They run and get that child. They see the child about to touch the lawnmower. They run and get that child. They see the child going to pet that dog that's barking like crazy. They get that child. They see the child about to run out in the street. They get that child. They grab that hand. They pull him back. But God is love. His love. What makes a parent do that? Their love for their child. What made a God of heaven do this? His love for you and me. Not just any love. His great love, the Bible says. Notice that. But God, who is rich in mercy. That means I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Hey, I should let the child go down the stairs. I should let the child get burnt. Maybe they won't touch it again. I should let the child get the dog so it can bite them. They won't do it again. I should let the child go out into the street. They get hit. Maybe they won't do it again. I should let them do that. But because of my mercy, I'm not going to let them get what they deserve. Because I love them, I'm going to grab them up. But God, in his mercy, he's rich in mercy, which means he's got a whole bunch of it. He's got enough to go around. Say, preacher, you don't know my situation. You don't know how bad I am. I don't have to know how bad you are. I just need to know how good God is. Hey, the Lord is good. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's great. He's able. He's righteous. His mercy. He's rich in mercy for his great love. Not just love. Great love, meaning it's a big amount. Not just love, but great love. Wherewith he loved, Paul again includes himself, us. Us. Paul said, you know what? Like y'all, I had my conversation as well. He said, well, like y'all, he loved me too. He loved me too. He loved you, but he loved me too. Hey, I had all the covenants and the promises. I had all that Israel had to offer. You were Gentiles. You didn't have that. But guess what? God loves me just as much as he loves you. He doesn't love me any less. Doesn't love you any less. Doesn't love me any more. Doesn't love you any more. Loves us all the same. That may seem different to you, but he loves us the same. But God stepped in with love when we were without life, without liberty, without limits, without the Lord. He stepped in with great love. He not only stepped in with great love, he gave us great life. Notice verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he said, you were past due. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And notice this, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said he gave me his great love in verse 4, but 5 and 6, he gave me great life. He quickened me. He gave me something to shout about. Amen. He gave me something to live for. Now, I was dead and I couldn't add anything to the kingdom of God. I was going to hell. I was destined to be punished. I was under the wrath of God. But now he loved me and he made me alive and I can serve him now. He said he gave me great love. He gave me great life. He gave me great luxury. Notice verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. We don't even know what it's going to be like to get to heaven yet. But if it's anything like his great mercy, his great love, his great riches have got to be astounding. Folks, just look at the earth that he created. Just look at the stars that he made. Look at the moon. Look at the planets. Look at the universe. Look at people. If he can do that here, imagine what heaven's going to be. We dig up jewels, we dig up sapphires, we dig up emeralds, we dig up all these topaz diamonds, we dig up all that, and heaven is made of better stuff than that. Wow. What am I saying? His great luxury. He stepped in with great love, with great life, with great luxury. Notice verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself is the gift of God. He says, God gave that to you. You didn't do anything on your own. You just believed. God gave you what you need. By the way, he gave us the faith. And he gave us the grace. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave me the faith. He gave me the grace. I just have to believe it. Amen. Hey, if I don't believe it, what am I? Without God, without Christ, without hope. But if I believe it, what am I? With Christ, with hope, and with God. Hallelujah and praise God. It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. Hey, he gave me great luxury. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. You didn't do anything to boast about. God gave you the faith. He gave you the grace. Amen. And not only did he give me great love and stepped in with great life and great luxury, but he gave me great labor as well. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. He gave me everything. Folks, we were without life. We were without liberty, verse 2. Without limits in verse 3. Did what we wanted to do. We were without the Lord and without Christ and without hope in verses 11 and 12. But God stepped in with love in verse number 4. Not just any love, his great love. In verses 5 and 6, he gave us great life. In verses 7 through 9, he gave us great luxury, amen, waiting to be claimed. And great labor in verse number 10. And so we just need to make sure that we are saved and we know it. And we know it. Paul Chappell had a devotion back in the beginning of December. And it said this in part. God does not want our eternal destiny to be in question. Think about that. God does not want our eternal destiny to be in question. He didn't want you to close your eyes thinking, am I saved? He don't want you walking around thinking, am I saved? He don't want you walking around saying, am I a child of God? He don't want you walking around, am I belonging to Jesus Christ? Never does he want that to be in question. No more than I want my children to walk around and act, am I a Dawson? Is daddy really my daddy? I don't want them questioning that because I want them to know that I am their father. Every parent does. He says, God does not want our eternal destiny to be in question. He not only offers us salvation, but he reminds us again and again that our salvation is certain. He assures those who have turned to him in faith and received him as their Savior that they should have no fear for the future. Being saved isn't a matter of simply saying some words. It's a choice from the heart to receive Christ, to be without Christ and to be with Christ. And with salvation will come a change of heart. If you have received Christ as your Savior, you can have the confidence that you have eternal life. If you have the Son, you have life. It's really that simple. God desires for us to be confident in our standing as his children. And we forget that all our salvation was his work and that we merely accepted what his grace offered, we lose the fear that we may do something to lose it. And my friend, there's nothing you can do to lose it. Once a child of God, always a child of God. Whenever you get saved, you will never, ever be without Christ. Now, you may act like you're without him sometimes, but that still doesn't do anything about the fact that you still have him. He may not have all of you at that point because you want to do your own thing. But once you have Jesus Christ, you will never, ever, ever be without Christ and without God and without hope because you will have the hope, the blessed hope. You will have the Christ of eternity. You will have the God of heaven. You will have heaven's best. Does that mean it's going to be good all the time on earth? Not at all. Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Pick it back up with me in verse number 13. He says, you're without God and without hope in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why did he say ye who sometimes were far off? Because he's talking about the Jews, how the Jews had the covenants and how they had all the promises and the Gentiles didn't have that. He said, you were far off. We had it. But you know what they still didn't have? Eternal life. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our what? Peace. Who have made both one, who's the both, the Jews and the Gentiles, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, dealing with the aspect of how the worship was set up in the temple. He said he'd broken down this middle wall where the Jews could go further, but the Gentiles had to stay outward. But then the priest could only go in so far, and that only once a year. He says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He says, all the stuff that you had to do, you could never do it anyway. He tore it down. You couldn't keep it if you tried. That's why Jesus Christ came to keep it all. He said, it's abolished. It's torn down. It's done. Why? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It's torn down. For to make in himself of twain or two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God, who? The Jew and the Gentile, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were not. He said the Jews needed it just as much as you need. They needed the cross of Christ. They needed it. Why? Without the cross, you cannot be saved. Without the sinless blood, you cannot be saved. Without sinlessness, you cannot be saved. They needed it just as much as we needed it. He said, they and us. For through him, verse 18, we both, notice that, Jew and Gentile, have access by the one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, speaking to the Gentiles, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? The chief cornerstone. Why? You remove the cornerstone, the building becomes unstable. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto any holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What did Paul say? He said, hey, without Christ, you can do nothing. You needed him as Gentiles. We needed him as Jews. And through the Gentiles and through the Jews, he wanted to make one people, the children of God. Folks, without Christ today, you're not going to make it in 2020. You're not going to make it. Say, preacher, how do I know if I'm saved? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. At what point did you receive Christ? And it wasn't because you did a good work. It wasn't because you kept the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It wasn't because that's demonstrating someone that's already saved. It's because you repented of your sin. And you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death for you, his burial for you, his resurrection for you. You had to believe that. And folks, why would you be without Christ and without God and without hope when he's offering it to you free of charge? Why be without when you can be with? It's like saying, why turn down $1 million when it's free? Salvation is not even compared to money. And why would you turn it down? But folks, going into 2020, we can't live without Christ. Why? Because you don't know if you're going to live tomorrow. Physically, you're alive, but are you spiritually alive? Because if you die today or tomorrow without Jesus Christ, my friend, you will have to go and pay the penalty for your sins in hell. And you can't afford it because you only have one life to give. Why not give that one life to Jesus Christ, who died for you? And then as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. How about with the one life you give it to Jesus. Let him save it. And then after he saves it, serve him with it. That's the way to live 2020. Folks, if you didn't get anything else, notice verse 1 again. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I don't know your spiritual state here today, but I can tell you this. If Jesus Christ did not save you, you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. And the Bible is clear. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God.